afternoon, and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Monday. Hey, through this crisis, in a world of few things are reliable, we remain reliable. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. We're live on AM 770 KTTH. We're streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. A local union representing broadcast journalists say the members all support the defund the police movement. Really? Is that true? We're going to get into the audio. TikTok is going to be banned in the United States. TikTok is an app used by stupid people or bored people, usually stupid bored people. We're going to get into why. Plus, President Trump right now is speaking on the coronavirus, doing another update to his task force efforts. We're going to carry that live in just a moment. This hour of the Jason Rancho Show is brought to you by the KTTH smartphone app. If you don't have it, you should download it immediately. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
President Trump is speaking to reporters at the White House, a part of his daily coronavirus briefings. He's getting into Nancy Pelosi's decision to attack Dr. Deborah Birx for some reason. We're going to get into that later on in the show. But here is the president answering questions from the press.
I think it's very fair.
And you mentioned,
but we want no security problems with China. It's got to be an American company. It's got to be American security. It's got to be owned here. We don't want to have any problems with security, etc. And something could come out. I will tell you, there's a lot of excitement, not only by Microsoft, but by other companies in terms of buying it. So we'll see what happens. But we want, and we think we deserve to have a big percentage of that price coming to America, coming to the Treasury.
Then on the negotiation on Capitol Hill, you expressed some frustration, said you might take executive action to address. So I was wondering if you could talk about both how you might prevent evictions through executive action, and then also.
Yeah, I could do that if I want, and I want to do that. I don't want people to be evicted, and you know, when they're evicted, when they're thrown out of their whatever the place may be, in many cases they go to big shelters. And if you talk about pandemic, this is a pandemic, and they go to shelters. Number one, they're thrown out viciously. It's not their fault. It's China's fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's China's fault. But number two, and if they are thrown out, they oftentimes will go to a shelter with tremendous numbers of other people, and the virus will spread. And we don't want that.
Are you considering suspending payroll, the collection of payroll taxes?
Well, I can do that also through an executive order. So we'll be talking about that. But we're having a very good discussion with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. The problem is they want to do bailouts of their various Democrat-run states and cities. And they want a lot of money. They want $1 trillion for that. And so they want to do much more than COVID related. They want to bail out cities and states that have been in trouble for years of bad management. In all cases, Democrat run cities. And we don't think that's fair. You understand that. You've heard it before. Yeah, please go ahead.
President, I wanted to ask you about the Justice Department sending federal agents into cities like Chicago as part of Operation Legend. How exactly do you envision these federal forces working alongside local police departments to help stop violence?
It's not a mass send, but it's sending very talented people to help them with the drugs and the shootings and the guns and the things that are happening. It's not like sending in the National Guard and stopping it cold. Which, as an example, a lot of progress has been made in Portland. But, you know, frankly, sending in the National Guard like we did in Minneapolis, it stopped it cold. From the time we sent that National Guard, they walked down the street. It was over in Minneapolis. Now it may be starting up again. This is these are Democrat-run cities and states, and it hasn't been a pretty picture to watch. We will help Chicago. We'll help New York if they request, after request the help. But we want to stop the drugs. We want to stop the guns. A lot of the Chicago is guns, and but what it is drug-related, gang-related, largely gang-related. With ICE, we send out thousands of MS-13, thousands and thousands of MS-13. We send them back, or in some cases have to put them in prison. They're too violent. They're truly violent. So we're helping out. When you look at what's happening in Chicago and some other cities with the shootings and the killings, they need help. And we haven't met with resistance, I have to be honest with you. I think it's good that we haven't. We're only looking to help them. We're only looking to help. OAN? OAN.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, in our nation's 243-year history, there has never been a stronger push for mail-in ballots to determine a national election.
Yeah.
Are you considering at any point issuing an executive order addressing mail-in ballots, and why do you think some people are pushing it so hard?
Well, there's never been a push like this for mail-in ballots, and if you look at the New York congressional race, which is a disaster, Carolyn, it's been a total disaster. They're 6 weeks into it now. They have no clue what's going on. And I mean, I think I can say right here and now, I think you have to rerun that race because it's a mess. Nobody knows what's happening with the ballots and the lost ballots and the fraudulent ballots, I guess. I think you probably have to take the Carolyn Maloney race and run it over again. How can you do this? And this is a small race with literally thousands of people, small thousands. And it's all messed up. You look at Paterson, New Jersey, it's all messed up. Almost every one of these, and these are small, easy to control. They should be able to do this easy. Now you're talking about like Nevada, where last two nights ago, they went out and in the darkness of night without people, without having any meetings of the public, without having anything, they approved a ridiculous. You don't have to look at signatures. You don't have to approve anything. You can have double mailings. You can have all sorts of things. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. It's a disgrace. I mean, honestly, it's a disgrace. So it's a very good question. I mean, the mail-in ballots, if you look at just some of the small places, the small races, a congressional race in New York, it should be very easy. Normally, that would have been announced at 7 o'clock, and it would have been down to the wire, and everybody would have loved it. If it was at all complex, it would have taken an extra 45 minutes or an hour. They would have announced it a little bit later. They have no clue. This was about 6 weeks ago, and they have no clue what's going on. They've lost ballots. There's fraudulent ballots. It's how are you going to do that for an entire nation? They're using COVID to try and get the mail-in ballots. Now, absentee ballots are great. Absentee ballots, they have to request them. They go through a process. They get them. But the universal mail-in ballots have turned out to be a disaster. And what Nevada has been doing, if you look over the last few days, you have to look at what they've done. You can have two ballots. You can harvest. It's harvesting. So you can take thousands of ballots, put them together, and just dump them down on somebody's desk after a certain period of time. They have something where if you vote, the vote can count up to 7 days later. Well, if the vote's going to count 7 days later, that means you know, if it depends on the one state like Nevada, that would mean simply that you can't have, supposing it's down to that one state, it could be, it's a great state, but supposing it's down to that one state, that means you have to wait 7 days. But they won't have it there. This is something that's so messed up. And by the way, I have to say, the post office for many, many years has been, you know, run in a fashion that hasn't been great. Great workers and everything, but they have old equipment, very old equipment. And I don't think the post office is prepared for a thing like this. You have to ask the people at the post office. But how can the post office be expected to handle? They have regular mailing. And then now on top of that, they have the Internet, where you have Amazon and these companies doing, you know, all the buying. Instead of going to a department store, they go buy through mail. So you have massive numbers of purchases now going through the post office, purchases of items and gifts. And that's a tremendous strain on the post office. The post office loses a fortune. It has been for many, many years, for decades. So now on top of it, it has this. And the Amazons of the world and the others, they pay very, very little money. They lose money on every, the post office loses money, which is ridiculous, on every package it delivers. But now on top of that, and I'm not just referring to Amazon, I'm talking about all of the competitors, if there is such a thing to Amazon. There will be, but if there is such a thing. But now on top of that, you'll have somebody like the governor of Nevada come out with this massive plan out of nowhere to take millions of ballots and send them all over the place. You'll never know who won that state. It'll get messed up just like New York and just like Paterson, New Jersey, and just like many other places. In West Virginia, they indicted a postman for doing something very bad. You know that? But there are many cases all over the country. If you look, you'll be able to find there's a list of them all over the country. And that has to do with universal mail-in. Again, absentee is great. It works. Like in Florida, they'll do absentee. It really works. But universal mail-in ballots is going to be a great embarrassment to our country. Well, I have the right to do it. We haven't gotten there yet, but we'll see what happens.
Listening
we will
to
be
live coverage of President
suing,
Trump in the White House,
Nevada,
answering questions around national mail-in voting, but also
we'll
the coronavirus.
We'll probably file something tomorrow. I do want to say that we're going to be introducing a tremendous health care plan sometime prior, hopefully prior to the end of the month. It's just about completed now. In addition, next month we'll be doing the immigration plan. So we'll be doing that in September. We'll be doing sometime during this month the health care plan. And I think that'll be before the end of the month. And I think it'll be very impressive to a lot of people. Thank you very much.
House President Donald Trump speaking on a whole host of issues. You hear there at the end talking about mail-in voting, which we're going to talk about later on in the show. If you're listening to The Jason Rand Show, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Media bias.
So Republicans and Democrats are trying to figure out where do we go from here on getting rid of the police department, defunding the police department, maybe taking a little bit out of the police department, giving lots to the police department. Depending on where you stand politically, you have obviously a different view. And right now, there are a whole bunch of different folks, including people who generally don't get all that involved in political fights, speaking up because they understand that the whole topic of defunding the police, whatever that actually means to the individual, we know that that is serious. We know that there is a lot on the line. Public safety is on the line. And a lot of us turn to the media to get some kind of objective coverage or as objective coverage as humanly possible as it relates to the different positions and what is actually being discussed on a local level here in Seattle, but also part of the national conversation all across the country. And it's important to understand that the media, the news media, the ones who are the anchors and the journalists, they're supposed to be objective. They're supposed to keep their own personal politics out of it. They're just supposed to give you the facts and allow for you to determine where you stand on your own. That job gets much more difficult when the executive director of the union that represents you testifies in front of the Seattle City Council claiming that the union membership all support the move to defund the police. That's exactly what happened last week. Shalia Allen is the executive director of SAG-AFTRA Seattle. This is the union that represents the on-air talent at King 5 and Cairo 7. Last week, during the public testimony portion of a council meeting, Allen decided to read a statement on behalf of the labor union that represents journalists. That's how she described it. That's how she introduced it. In fact, let's listen in.
Hi, my name is Shalia Allen. I'm the executive director of SAG-AFTRA in Seattle and a resident of West Seattle. For the labor union that represents journalists.
For the labor union.
A new kind of policing is possible. Defending Black lives and defending our First Amendment rights as journalists means defunding the police.
Defending our rights as journalists means defunding the police. She's saying that statement, which, by the way, makes no sense, but she's saying that statement on behalf of the labor union that represents journalists. Continue.
Reinvesting in the community. I've watched in Seattle and across the country as journalists have been tear gassed, fired upon, and detained by police officers for doing their jobs. Acts of violence on the press, bringing news to the communities they serve, are a betrayal of our nation's founding principle that a free press is necessary for the maintenance of a free government. SAG-AFTRA denounces police brutality and supports demilitarizing the police and decriminalize Seattle. Another kind of policing is possible. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, did you know that SAG-AFTRA, the local journalist over at King 5 and Cairo 7, according to this executive director, not only backs the defund movement, but supports Decriminalize Seattle, which is a fringe progressive group that's been calling on quote-unquote community policing. Getting rid of the 911 call center from the control of the SPD. Now, if you hold that position, I don't care. I disagree with that position. I think it's incredibly dangerous. But you get to hold whatever position you want to hold. But when you are speaking out on behalf of all of the journalists that you represent over at King 5 and Cairo 7, that tends to be a little bit of a problem. Because I'm told that journalists push aside their political views, and they all have political views, but they try their best to make sure that they are not having their coverage framed or shaded by those views, keeping that bias out. And so when Shalia Allen did this, and I posted the video on Twitter and I tagged her, instead of responding, Shalia Allen deleted her entire Twitter feed. She didn't block me. She deleted her entire Twitter feed.
The whole thing?
The entire thing. She just deleted it.
Did she delete the app on her phone?
She deleted her account. It no longer shows up. And then when I checked on Facebook, couldn't find that anywhere either. So instead of actually addressing this issue, she decided to just completely go dark. She ghosted me. So I reached out to her via email, and she gave me a ridiculous non-answer. But she did say in her email that she, quote, sent a statement was officially rescinded on the record with city council, meaning she rescinded her position that she speaks on behalf of all of the journalists. She didn't explain what that actually means. I don't know what it means to simply say I rescinded on the record with the city council. Does that mean everyone who heard you claim to support your members, does it mean you went back on TV and on video and on the telephone and told them that you were speaking out of school, that you don't actually represent all of the journalists? Then I reached out to the spokesperson for SAG-AFTRA, who sent me an email, said, quote, she notified the city council that her statement should be rescinded from the record as not representing the views of SAG-AFTRA. Interesting. So in other words, it was private. She sent a private email to the council. And as far as I can tell, SAG-AFTRA has no intent on publicly clearing the record. Some journalists in and out of the union decided to speak up on their own and say this is outrageous. But not a lot. In fact, most decided to stay silent. Now, I don't know if this is a union thing or if this is just them not wanting to get involved. But I reached out to a lot of the talent on air over at King 5 and Cairo 7, most of whom I get along with really, really well. And no one wanted to talk on the record. There's one exception of a union worker who spoke on the record outside of their steward. King 5 reporter Vanessa Misiongna. I don't know how to say her last name. My apologies. But kudos to her because she tweeted, I, just as I believe any of my colleagues who are members of this union, denounce anyone or any organization backing one side of an issue claiming to speak for journalists. I hope our union learned a lesson about the danger of her words. Brandy Cruz, our friend over at Q13, she is not a member of the union, but she offered some pretty harsh criticism of Allen on her Twitter feed. She said she claimed to be speaking for journalists, but all she did is further erode public trust in the press. This is beyond bizarre. Now, I reached out to Deborah Horn, who's the Cairo 7 steward. She's the one who handles things for the union there. She's also the vice president of broadcast for SAG-AFTRA Seattle Local. She would not give me a statement on the record. I find that truly bizarre. Mark Wright, who is the co-steward at King 5, did say something on the record. Said, this statement certainly took me by surprise. We don't take sides as journalists. I called Shalia today. She apologized to me and our membership for what can only be characterized as a major misstep. Now, we also got a bigger statement coming from SAG-AFTRA saying basically the same things. They say, as a union that advocates for members across the country and around the globe, the voices of SAG-AFTRA reflect a diversity of opinion on many social issues. Her statement reflected her personal position on these topics and not that of the membership of SAG-AFTRA. And then they say, we have no further comment. So they didn't want to talk any more beyond that. Anchors and reporters need to remain objective when we're talking about this kind of coverage. They cannot take positions on the news stories that they cover. If they want to take positions, then they should no longer be covering these topics. But by publicly endorsing the Defund Seattle Police movement, Shalia Allen makes it really, really easy for those of you who are listening right now to simply look at the local media and just distrust them. Question what it is you're getting from Cairo 7 or King 5. If you don't like the coverage of some of the riots or, peaceful protests, I imagine someone out there who heard these comments can just say, oh yeah, this is the reporter or the anchor allowing their personal view to frame their coverage. Which, by the way, is not an unreasonable position to take after hearing the comments from Allen. Comments that were only rescinded behind the scenes via email. And the silence by some union members, including Deborah Horn, who I like. She's a good reporter over at Cairo 7. It speaks volumes. Imagine for a second, just for a second, if Allen went up and said MAGA at that meeting. Our journalists, we all believe we want to make America great again. I believe the reporters would go nuts if that happened, especially in this market. And Brandy Cruz on Twitter also made a point. Can you imagine if her testimony had been against defunding police? Reporters who belonged to that union would have fallen over themselves, putting out statements to distance themselves from her remarks. Now, there is no doubt that there is a contingency of local journalists who do ideologically side with this progressive movement and who do support the defund police movement, whatever that actually means. Some reporters don't hide their views. You go online on Twitter or Facebook, it's very, very easy to spot a lot of the folks who are open about their political positions. And I think they do that to the detriment not only of their own careers and being seen as objective, but also to the news organizations that they represent. But the vast majority of local journalists, I believe, treat issues fairly, regardless of what their ideological views are. They have ideological views, but I think they do their best to push them aside and to treat things fairly. But Allen makes that job way more difficult, and the ones who decide to stay silent do a disservice to their profession and the viewers that they say they serve. So it's not okay that we get one statement on Twitter from Mark Wright, and I'm glad he did from Kingva. Again, kudos to him. He didn't have to say anything. I think it needs to be a little bit more than that. I know that there are some reporters who want to say some stuff on the record but feel like they can't get away with it. And I think it is disturbing that Deborah Horn, as of right now, hasn't decided to say something on the record. I think this is serious, especially for a group of folks who take themselves very, very seriously, as members of the media do. This puts their role in question. If you want to help me shine a spotlight on this, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, TikTok is going to be banned. We'll tell you why and why this actually matters right here on the Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If I were to create a Venn diagram, do you know what a Venn diagram is?
Yeah, there's one in your office.
There's one in my office of people who hate me. And it's a very large Venn diagram. And if it was also a group of people I hate, it would also be rather large. But let's think of two huge circles. On one circle in the middle, it's going to say stupid people. Okay?
All right.
Big old group. And then the other one, it's going to say people who are bored. Bored people. They're just bored. They need something to do. There's going to be some overlap of stupid and bored people. Those are the ones who use TikTok, which is an app that mostly kids use and adults who want to live vicariously through their kids use, basically to pass time.
I want you to know that you're firing shots at my entire generation right
now. I'm very well aware of that.
You are?
I would be more concerned about what it says about your generation than what it says about me. But TikTok is essentially a place where you get a bunch of goofy, stupid videos that pass the time when you need to pass the time.
Incredible intellectual videos that entertain and inform.
Yes. Your stupidity. That's what it does. So it's fine. I was on TikTok for like 20 minutes because I was just trying to figure out what it is. It's basically going down the rabbit hole that you would on YouTube. It's just shorter content and it's more geared towards younger people. So it's going to be banned. The president is banning TikTok starting on, I believe, September 15th. And so idiots decided to jump on TikTok to complain and plea for why it should stay.
Well, we all love TikTok.
No, we don't.
And of course, we're all hoping TikTok stays with us for a very, very, very,
year-old
long
woman.
Time
very long time.
Because it brings us so much
dopey
joy.
Granddaughter.
It's brought so much joy to all of us in the world.
Uh-huh. And laughter and happiness.
Yeah,
and
you sound happy.
You guys met my crazy grandma from it.
I love TikTok. It brings me such joy. I can't stop laughing. Ha ha, ha ha. I love it. Ha ha.
And because of all of you, you have helped to put us on the map. And
that's
we just
we
want to share with
it.
TikTok that TikTok, we love you. We all want you to stay around for a long time.
Oh, you're going
to
shout.
TikTok!
Oh, no.
TikTok!
Oh, my God.
Yeah!
Now they're dancing.
TikTok! Keep on going, TikTok! Keep on going!
You know what? That grandma is fighting on behalf of communist China. That's what she's cheering on when she decides to cheer on TikTok. Now, granted, most people don't know this about TikTok. TikTok is a Chinese-owned company. When the Chinese government comes up to you as a Chinese-owned company and say, hey, we would love all the data that you've got, not only by law do you have to turn over that data to the communist Chinese government, you can't talk about it. It has to be kept secret. That data collection up until this point has been used to round up citizens, some of them being sent to death camps. Yes, in 2020, in China, there are death camps. Others were into forced sterilization, all based on the data that they were collecting from companies. They get to do that. And so the American government is saying, well, that's not good. We're going into an election. We don't want to give over all of this information, all of this data to the Chinese government. There was this hack that was reported that even content that was copy and pasted on your phone, you know how you copy and paste something on a notepad on your Windows desktop or laptop or whatever, doing virtually the same thing on your phone could end up getting that information sent directly to the Chinese government, which could include, say, passwords to email.
Passwords to email.
Exactly. Of all the things that you could have chosen, I'm glad you chose that one to highlight how incredibly dangerous this is. And so the president, who, by the way, has been called out for inviting interference into the 2020 election, he come out and says, yeah, we gotta do something about this. We cannot allow the Chinese communists, a government that is actively involved in cyber attacks, we can't give up this information. And by the way, this is not just a TikTok issue. This is an issue that you have with any of these apps or services that are based out of China. Secretary Mike Pompeo made the warning on Fox News.
These Chinese software companies doing business in the United States, whether it's TikTok or WeChat, there are countless more, as Peter Navarro said, are feeding data directly to the Chinese Communist Party. Their national security apparatus could be their facial recognition pattern. It could be information about their residence, their phone numbers, their friends, who they're connected to. Those are the issues that President Trump's made clear we're going to take care of. These are true national security issues. They're true privacy issues for the American people. And for a long time, the United States just said, well, goodness, if we're having fun with it or if a company can make money off of it, we're going to permit that to happen. President Trump has said enough, and we're going to fix it. And so he will take action in the coming days with respect to a broad array of national security risks that are presented by software connected to the Chinese Communist Party.
This is 100% the right move. And before Friday of last week, Democrats were all on board. They were talking about the exact same issues. But what happened on Friday? Donald Trump got involved. And then all of a sudden, there was a little bit of a shift. You're seeing Steve Schmidt, a analyst over at MSNBC, talking about how angry he's making a whole bunch of teenagers. And you know what? The teenagers, they're going to come out in full force and vote you out of office, Donald Trump. Speaking of teenagers, you had David Hogg, who, of course, is one of the survivors from the shooting in Florida, Stoneman Douglas. Now, back in March of this year, this is what he tweeted. And normally, I don't pick on teenagers, even though I can't stand them. He's no longer a traditional teenager. He's graduated from high school, so now I get to pick on him. He tweeted on March 25th, TikTok is a national security threat that should only be used to call out the Chinese government who controls it for their atrocities and human rights abuses. Serious, y'all, memes and jokes are fun, but downloading the spyware of an authoritarian regime is not. Then on Friday, Donald Trump got involved, and lo and behold, what was the tweet coming from David the day after? Imagine being so scared teenagers are going to vote you out, you ban one of their top platforms for communication. So all of a sudden, we're just completely ignoring the good faith and very valid criticisms of this particular app and all of these services that are directly tied to the Chinese communist regime. Now, it is true that TikTok is incredibly popular amongst people that are Peyton's age and younger, and also some of the really old grandmas who are also on this stupid app. It is true. It is incredibly popular. And I understand why it's popular. People are stupid. They have small attention spans. They like the videos. And so Microsoft has come out, and they're the only large company that I'm aware of. I imagine that there are some others who are potentially going to come in, and they're in talks to purchase the American assets of TikTok. Because when you're able to perhaps bring over the American assets, it means it's not going to be connected to the reason why so many people are upset, which is connecting directly to communist China. Now, Jim Cramer over at CNBC, he's not so sure that a simple takeover by an American company is going to be good enough.
I am perturbed by it to some degree. The Chinese communists have my email. I don't want them having my email.
Well, by the way, it's probably just jim.cramer@cnbc.com.
Microsoft be compromised in having to do things that the Chinese communists want? What will Microsoft have to give up in China?
This is fair.
What kind of security clearances are there? Is this the right move versus a company that has no contacts in China and therefore won't be pressured?
That is an incredibly fair point. In fact, it's a point that the trade advisor, Peter Navarro, has taken for the White House. That was his position. Now, today, Donald Trump did a little bit of an about-face because before he didn't want any company to purchase it, but he had some conversations with stakeholders, including Satya Nadella, the president of Microsoft, and he's changed his mind a little bit.
We had a great conversation. He called me to see whether or not how I felt about it, and I said, look, it can't be controlled for security reasons by China. Too big, too invasive, and it can't be. And here's the deal. I don't mind if, whether it's Microsoft or somebody else, a big company, a secure company, very, very American company, buy it. It's probably easier to buy the whole thing than to buy 30% of it. Because I say, how do you do 30%? Who's going to get the name? The name is hot. The brand is hot. Mm-hmm. And who's going to get the name? How do you do that if it's owned by two different companies? So my personal opinion was you're probably better off buying the whole thing rather than buying 30% of it. I think buying 30% is complicated. And I suggested that he can go ahead. He can try. We set a date. I set a date of around September 15th, at which point it's going to be out of business in the United States. But if somebody, and whether it's Microsoft or somebody else, buys it, that'll be interesting.
So they're going down that pathway. Here is a bigger picture issue that's problematic in all of this. Average people don't care. And that's why I'm glad that the Trump administration and others, and Democrats, frankly, have stepped up to address this. But if you're hoping to win this war with the American people, you're going to lose. The only people who find this controversial, are the users. And they don't want it to be banned because they love the content. And we live in a society, for better or for worse, who have said over and over and over again, you can have whatever you want from my phone as long as you give me that free service. Yes, I've been told about the dangers of our privacy being eroded, but oh, I can get Facebook for free. I can get Gmail for free. Okay, I'm not even reading these terms of services, service agreements. Oh, you mean even on Parler, they're giving up some of my information in a way that I didn't think? It doesn't matter. It's not Twitter. So I sign up. People do that all the time. We are willing to give out all of this stuff, all of our personal information, and we're okay with it. The only difference in this case, it goes to a communist authoritarian regime. Does that move the needle enough for the American public? I still think probably not. For me, it does. I'm okay with Instagram, for example, hyper-targeting me on their ads because all their ads are amazing and I buy everything that they target me with. I'd prefer that than getting, you know, hit with like children's toys and diapers and stuff that I'm never going to, well, diapers, I'm getting to that age. But I mean, I'm never going to actually buy any of that stuff, so I like the targeted stuff. I don't want it to go into communist China.
All my information's already out there. Just take it, have it, leave me TikTok.
Well, that's because you put your password, just password backwards.
Don't tell them my secret.
Well, now you got to change it. And you can't change it back to password because that was the original password you had. You dumb dumb. That's how I got into your email and sent all those nasty emails.
Quit it. You're not even a tech guy. You're just doing this for fun.
1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. Nancy Pelosi goes after Dr. Birx. Why? Yeah, it doesn't make sense. We'll get into it when we return right here on the Jason Rand Show. Jason Rand Show, thank you so much for tuning in. Really, really do appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. That way you never miss a second of this show. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. We were told over and over and over again some more to listen to the experts. listen to the doctors when it comes to the coronavirus. They have our best interests in mind. I heard that coming from the Democrats nonstop. Donald Trump, you better be listening to the experts. Listen to the experts until they say something we don't like, and then you can ignore at least the parts that we don't like, and we'll move forward with everything else. The selective hearing, the selective adherence. And if the expert says too many things we don't like, well, let's just attack them and ignore them. That apparently is the new mantra coming from the Democratic Party. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has decided to attack Dr. Birx because she believes there's some disagreements internally between the Birx faction, which is more pro-Trump, perceived at least, versus the Fauci faction, which is more anti-Trump. Again, perceived. And so she was on with Jim Sciutto, the Democrat who pretends to be a journalist on CNN. And she just goes after Birx and Trump.
You said this weekend that you don't have confidence in someone who is part of the administration's leading, helping lead the administration's response to this.
Right. Yeah,
in White House advisor Dr. Deborah Birx.
Given that she has
differed with the president.
By the way, does she not know how questions go and how interviews go? Yes, they're resetting what it is you said. We know that you know. That's why he's saying it. But he's not doing it for you. It is a reminder, Nancy Pelosi. He's doing it to the crowd, audience.
Has anybody asked her if she knows how interviews work?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, I said that. Yeah.
On a number of issues he's just flat out wrong based on the facts. Including hydroxychloroquine, et cetera. I just wonder why single her out, given the president leading really the effort.
Well, what happened is that we had a conversation about how we stopped the virus. And when we did, they were making contentions about how tracing isn't a valuable thing. We shouldn't do it. I said, well, that's not what most scientists say. And they said, well, we'll bring a scientist to say that. I said, well, sure, it's not Dr. Birx.
So in other words, we only want to hear from the scientists who take positions we support. And if they're not going to say it, give us someone else. You're shopping around for experts. That's not how science is supposed to be used, certainly not when you're deciding public policy. Now, if your intent is to create public policy regardless of the science, because maybe you think it gives you an advantage, or maybe you have a bias going in that one side is right and the other side is not, not based on your own scientific knowledge, because Nancy Pelosi doesn't have any. Then you do what she's doing.
Because I don't have confidence in anyone who stands there while the president says, swallow Lysol and it's going to cure your virus.
I love Jim Show. The president didn't say, swallow Lysol, you disingenuous hack. He did not say that, and you know it. And it's so weird how we all heard it in real time, and you could say it was sloppy questioning. Right. When he was doing it in real time, which is something I believe. As soon as I heard what he said, I was like, oh, this is going to be used against you. Now they're just making stuff up. Oh, yeah. He said, go home and gargle with Lysol and then, swallow it just to play it safe.
They'll kill you and you won't have the virus anymore. I'm not confidence in somebody when the president.
Cowardly Sciutto there doesn't stop. So that, well, to be fair, that's not what he said. But please continue. There are ways you can interject like that without offending the guest. He, of course, chooses not to do that.
Says it's a hoax. It's magic. It's going to go away by magic.
Now it's going away by magic. Has he ever said the term magic? Has he ever used that term? The coronavirus is going to go away in the context that we're going to have a vaccine and it's going to be treated the same way as the flu. When the flu happens, we don't look at it and say, oh my gosh, now millions of people are going to die because of the flu. We got to shut everything down. We say, no, for the most part, it's gone away. We've got a vaccine that you can take. We have better treatment on how to handle people who have it, blah, 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 blah. But of course, there's no nuance for Nancy Pelosi because she is in the business of demonizing the other side.
Miracle and all of those things. So,
you're saying she hasn't challenged his disinformation.
Well, she stood there I think that she has enabled. But it's not about her. It's about the American.
Well, no, it kind of does sound like it's about her because you literally just said, don't get me Dr. Birx, get me someone else. So it literally is about her.
People. It's about the American people and how we have a strategic plan. This administration has not had a strategic plan for the 6 months that we know about the coronavirus.
No plan whatsoever. That whole thing about closing down travel to Asia and Europe, that was not a plan. Oh, no, it was a plan. Oh, no, but originally you said it was useless and wouldn't have anything to do with saving lives, and then you decided to do about face on that, and then Dr. Fauci just last week said actually it saved tens of thousands of lives. Okay, got it. I'm all about understanding both sides play the political game, but can we just be a little bit less transparent? Just like a little tiny bit transparent? And I know CNN is all in on this anti-Trump stuff, but have just some courage to speak up and be a little bit fair or no? Okay, never mind. It's Jason Rancho.